And we are live.
Welcome back, beautiful and amazing human beings, to the We Are Change Sunday weekly show, where we talk about the most important news that happened from Monday all the way till today. And today is August 8th, 2018, and we're going to be live here for an hour, maybe two. We're going to be live on Facebook, on Periscope. This episode will be available on iTunes later, but predominantly, we're going to be talking to everyone here on YouTube, and especially your super chats that enable us to be free and independent, unlike all the other monsters out there who are ultimately creating order out of chaos for their bigger agenda, which, of course, we're going to get into in this video. And also, we are joined by Jason Burmes. Jason, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you, sir?
Oh, man, I've been sick this entire week. I don't know if it's from the traveling or from the tear gas that I went through in Portland or just the flashbangs, or just, I think it's just a combination of everything, but I've been sick this entire week. That's why I haven't really traveled anywhere. That's why I really haven't gone out there to a lot of these bigger events that are happening. But this discourse that I've been seeing here, Jason, the political dichotomy that's unfolding within the United States is just absolutely insane. I don't know how you're dealing with it, but I'm literally, right before this broadcast, I'm sitting here, I turned on my meditation app, Calm, and I'm like trying to meditate. Trying to calm down, trying to make sense of it all, and I think I did, but this is a lot to deal with.
Well, Luke, I think a lot of it is still media hype. You know, obviously we're going to talk about the Portland rally and the DC rally today, but I'm seeing a lot more reasonable people, but there is still a divide. I don't know, man, it's really tough out there, but I feel like if you're talking to your neighbors, they're not really that concerned if you're a Trump supporter or, you know, team Hillary, Bernie, whatever they're going to run, or their new superstar is Ocasio's something, you know, socialist. So, I don't know, man. All extremes are out there. We got the press, you know, censoring InfoWars, but then coming together against anti-censorship from Trump. So, we're really living in a topsy-turvy kind of Twilight Zone reality right now.
Yeah, and this is kind of the first thing we wanted to talk about in this live stream before we get into all the news starting from Monday all the way up till today. The first thing that I really wanted to talk to everyone about is pretty much the order out of chaos agenda that is unfolding in political dichotomy in the United States right now. Because if you look online, if you're paying attention to the online verse of what everyone's talking about, you just see a lot of insane, irrational, hyperbolic nonsense absolutely everywhere. And a lot of this has been spurred up because of the major tech companies censoring InfoWars and also other people as well. This has spurred a lot of very interesting discussion, but also ultimately destructive discussion, with people even like H3H3 being targeted as they were doing a live stream just talking about Alex Jones, where they were automatically given a strike and revoked their ability to even have their live stream. Now, if you don't know about H3H3, they're pretty much a satirical kind of mainstream YouTube channel that pretty much is popular because of their self-deprecation. I personally like their humor. I loved when they protected the humongous guy, a dad who made a simple dad's joke at a city council meeting and had people just erupt in madness and craziness around him and try to ruin his life. H3H3 did really good coverage of that. And if you ever have some time, I definitely recommend you check out H3H3 and Humongous. You type that into YouTube, you'll see a lot of incredible content that H3H3 was making. But interestingly, during their live stream, they were actually making an argument against Alex Jones and some of the craziness that he has been putting out there throughout the years. And then midway through their broadcast, bam, shut. Because of this crazy YouTube algorithm that the YouTube creators have to deal with. Now, of course, H3H3, which has millions of subscribers, was able to directly contact YouTube. YouTube apologized and took back that strike against them, and now they have the right to go again and have a live stream. But it just shows you how just quickly and automated everyone is set into just shutting down discourse, no matter what your position is. And that is only increasing. As we saw this week, Twitter suspend not only the Proud Boys and all of their accounts and all of the people associated with Proud Boys, but also the founder of the Proud Boys, Gavin McGinnis, who was also a founder of Vice. shut down and banned their entire accounts from Twitter because of, quote, violating the terms of services on inciting violence. And if you look at the headlines that played throughout the mainstream media, the headlines were Twitter suspends Proud Boys and founder Gavin McGinnis accounts ahead of the Unite the Right rally. Of course, these are two rallies that we saw play out unfold today in Washington, D.C., and yesterday in Charlottesville. And what's really interesting is that one of the last tweets that Gavin McGinnis put out there is that he has nothing to do and won't even go near the alt-right and the Unite the Right protest that is organized by Jason Kessler, which he called a DNC operative, since Jason Kessler previously worked with Occupy Wall Street. So Gavin McGinnis clearly made his situation, made everyone aware of his situation that he was disavowing and not going to the Unite the Right, but this still didn't stop a lot of media outlets going out there and saying, well, this is because of the Unite the Right thing. And this, again, if Twitter's going to ban and suspend people, they would have to ban and suspend everyone. There's numerous instances where they're mostly going after political people. But I think there's also a bigger agenda here. This is the kind of order out of chaos kind of dichotomy that I want to explain to everyone. Because if we look, Antifa still has a voice on the platform. There's over 80 Antifa accounts on the platform. The Westboro Baptist Church still has a platform. Richard Spencer still has a platform on Twitter. But Gavin McGinnis is banned for inciting violence. And sure, I mean, if you look at the Proud Boys, they are a nationalistic, Western chauvinistic organization. They have defended themselves. They have acted violently before, like other organizations as well. To me, when I think of Gavin McGinnis, the only thing I think of is when he's putting butt plugs up his, you know what, he's known for being a hyperbolic guy. He's known for definitely being out there, to say the least. But this does kind of make a lot of people wonder, why does Richard Spencer, the Westboro Baptist Church, and Antifa still have a platform? And it shows you the kind of bigger political play that's being made here. I mean, we even saw with people like Candace Owens and even others mimic this. They started copying the tweets of people like the New York Times new hire, Sarah Young, and they started retweeting it and changing different names. And some people even said a lot of the racist things that leftist people said and just copied them and pasted them into Twitter. And the people on the right were banned from it and censored for it, and the people on the left weren't, which shows clearly that this is very political with what's happening with all the latest censorship efforts. And again, Twitter's trying to save face with this, with them just saying that they're planning to draft a policy on dehumanizing speech. And in reality, what they're talking about is creating a policy paper on how to get out of business. Because if you look online, especially in this comment section that we have on our own YouTube channel, it's all dehumanizing speech. This is a big part of the internet, and seeing it used as a bigger ploy for just politics, censoring people in the bigger public sphere, is just utterly disgusting, and the hypocrisy does need to be called out. And I think it is happening for a new reason, and the people in the establishment and people within the media are smelling blood. Just like Will Chamberlain tweeted, the editor-in-chief of The Verge is even suggesting that Fox News should be taken off air and censored for their views. Sure, I disagree with people like Gavin, like Alex Jones, and even Fox News, but deplatforming them ultimately is just creating a society of classroom snitches that are throwing temper tantrums, trying to get their way, trying to dominate the political discourse. But in their kind of pursuit of power, what they're doing ultimately is giving rise to these people at the same time. And we saw that with Alex Jones this week, because with the establishment tech company censoring him, they just gave his ideas, which are pro-government, fear-mongering, divide and conquer, a bigger platform and more credibility than before. If you look at his website numbers are skyrocketing. There's a reason he has one of the top apps in the Apple App Store right now, in the Android Store right now, because the more you try to censor it, the more you promote it. And that's exactly what we saw today in Washington, D.C., with just insane people being promoted with national media coverage, as we saw a picture of this crazy man, Jason Kessler, with all the media attention exactly on him because of all the people trying to stop him. And again, the media establishment is really not only digging their own grave, but they're such hypocrites that it's very, very difficult to ever take them seriously. Right now, there's about 70 news organizations coming together to launch a uniform attack on Donald Trump for, quote, attacking the media. And yes, Donald Trump has said some hyperbolic things, has raised tensions between people and the media. But if we look at things, especially with the way that they unfolded within just this last week, if you look at what happened in Portland, it was a local Oregonian reporter who had a bottle smashed over his head by left-wing protesters. If you look at what happened in Berkeley, it was a journalist who was threatened, who was saying to get back because the cops here are not here and they won't help you. Even yesterday in Charlottesville, we saw protesters, mainly from the left, attacking an NBC News reporter. And what's really interesting about this case is that this attack by leftist protesters on journalists, it's not really being highlighted to the point where people actually went after Brian Stetler of CNN today, to the point where he actually had to come out and surprisingly denounced this unacceptable behavior by protesters in Charlottesville and actually finally called it out, which was predominantly done because of all the people pressuring him, because he's one of the leading front runners saying Trump is bad for saying bad things about journalists. And NBC even ignored the fact that their own reporter and crew were assaulted by left-wing protesters. So that just shows you the dichotomy that's happening there and the bigger kind of political agenda that they're pushing there, ultimately shooting themselves in the foot, creating chaos. And the chaos is self-evident with the more you start looking into all these events and everything that's unfolding. You look at right now, NPR is being criticized and attacked for interviewing Jason Kessler, the organizer, the white supremacist who organized today's Unite the Right to rally. They're getting viciously attacked. Meanwhile, Vice, that embedded with Unite the Right, the original one that actually happened, that embedded with a lot of the hyperbolic racist speakers, they won Peabody Awards. They were welcomed from doing so. So what we're seeing right now is just the ultimately smashing of dialogue, hypocrisy, and there's even just the conversation nationally is just becoming more and more dangerous. As we saw even today in Washington, D.C., a sign saying it takes bullets to bash fash. And with the conversation growing, a lot of people who are not associated with fascism or the right are being accused of that. Whether it's Tim Pool, Sargon Navakad, even myself, we've been accused of being fascist. We're not. So what's happening here is this hyperbolic tension is only being intensified, and it's being intensified specifically by the media. And what they're doing here is they're creating this chaos. They're fomenting this kind of hyperbolic tensions, giving it rise, promoting it, pushing it. Ultimately, with this chaos, they're going to try to come in and bring in the order. And their order, of course, is we are the authority. You better listen to us. We know what's right for you. Look at all these crazy people infighting. Don't look at what we're doing. Don't hold us responsible for all the corrupt, evil, horrible things we did. Just keep fighting each other, which keeps fomenting, which keeps building, which only brings on more censorship, more destruction of an actual real conversation to the point where it's detrimental to even engage in conversation. I'm looking at these things. I'm looking online and I'm like, I don't even want to be a part of this. I don't want to talk. I'm here trying to meditate, trying to calm down, being like, this is absolute madness. What's happening? And the flames are only being more engulfed. The divide and conquer agenda is only becoming more prevalent in our day and our society. And rational voices no longer have a platform because the idiots have dominated it and the idiots have been pushed to be on the national stage, just like today in Washington, D.C. And to me, this all needs to end. And it ends with you guys not giving those guys any attention, with you guys moving to alternative social media platforms like Steemit, like BitChute, and there's a whole slurry of other ones that we participate in with the links directly in the description of this video. And we need to support voices that are not calling for civil war, that are not calling for a race war, that are not trying to foment this bigger conflict and really engage in the bigger issues that we all have facing in front of us that actually bring us together. And that agenda is definitely not going to be highlighted by the mainstream media, which is just making these flames so much worse. That's my take on it. Jason, what's yours?
Well, Luke, I want to take it way back to the beginning of the conversation with H3 and point out, you know, not only did they pull their stream, but they pulled it after, and he revealed this after they got back on the air after about an hour, because I checked out the aftermath and a little bit of the stream that had been cut off. He had checked with them the day before on whether it was okay to talk about Alex Jones. And he had actually talked with one of the YouTube personnel high up and made sure it was all right to discuss. That's why he got so upset. He's like, listen, I had a conversation with, you know, like an executive type on what I was allowed to say and what I was not allowed to say, which to me is extremely bizarre. Obviously, we should be able to talk about a public figure in any manner we see fit, especially if we're not calling for violence against that person or those who may be opposed or support him. And he was
this is a great point. Sorry to cut you off, yeah. Jason, but he had to ask permission even to discuss Alex Jones. He needed YouTube, the gods of YouTube. Oh, punishful, horrible gods that decide the faith of people and their livelihood. Please, can I even just mention Alex Jones? Look how absurd the discussion and the control of the discussion has become.
Yeah, no, absolutely absurd and over the top, okay? So now let's take it to the next level. So he's really upset and he's like, you know, you just validated everything Alex Jones has been saying. You know, I'm sitting here calling him a crazy conspiracy theorist, and then you take me off the air just for talking about him. And he's like, you know, I had this funny bit, and they had, you know, they had a pre-edit, one of those Vic Berger-style videos about Alex Jones, and they play that. And that, and this is another point I think is very, very important to make. Like, that's pre-approved, man. We're allowed to hear Alex Jones say, I don't like it when they turn the friggin' frogs gay. That's fine. We're allowed to hear that. What we're not allowed to hear, we're not allowed to hear anything about 9/11. We're not allowed to hear anything that is anti-authoritarian. Now, don't get me wrong. That program has slid in the wrong direction, being pro-martial law in some cases. But I'm never going to stop saying that that voice shouldn't exist. I think we're in a pretty dire straits, for instance, Luke, when Sean Hannity, we posted this segment over at the We Are Change Facebook page, is telling the truth, and Fox News is telling the truth in 12-minute opening monologue segments. When it's Fox News that is the bastion of truth in our mainstream media, we are utterly screwed, Radowski.
Yeah. Well, it exists and it's being promoted because it pushes the bigger divide and conquer agenda. This is my own personal belief. This is what I believe is happening here. But it's working very effectively where real issues like the corporatists pretty much trying to run every aspect of our lives, the big banksters who are stealing our wealth out of our pockets, the big warmongers who are being successful in selling their arms to Saudi Arabia, working with the United States in bombing children, creating the worst humanitarian crisis, are never addressed. The things that actually touch us, the things that actually affect us, that a national discourse would help solve, their interest that they're representing will never be addressed. And this is a perfect way that they're able to get away with their bigger sinister plots and all the horrible stuff that they're doing. There's no other way to get away with this than have people fighting each other on this utter nonsense and giving a stage to the most idiotic ideas, making them more hyperbolic, making them more divisive, making them more racist, making them more outlandish. So again, all we're talking about is all this nonsense instead of the real issues. And it's hard. It's hard even as an independent journalist to keep the discussion rational because of all these irrational thoughts and irrational motives just being highlighted. It's an insane dichotomy that we're dealing with right now.
Well, again, you know, I want to point out to the mainstream narrative that it is so divisive. It's dwelling, like how many times we have to hear about Unite the Right this week, for instance, or even this weekend. A ton. You know what we didn't hear about nationally? The biggest case for humanity winning against a large evil corporation. This is the first civil suit going through on Monsanto. You know, we've been reporting on it since its inception, since a judge said that hundreds of these lawsuits could go through. This was really the test case. Dwayne Lee Johnson wins. He wins to the tune of $292 million. There's one or two articles here and there on CNN, MSNBC. There's no profile pieces in the national media, Luke. And I've got to go to local CBS feeds to find anything of substance talking to the lawyers of Monsanto, talking to Dwayne Lee Johnson. This case has global repercussions, is a huge win for truth tellers, for people that have been out there talking about glyphosate, talking about the other additives, talking about Roundup, talking about Monsanto, a company that has openly sued so many small-time farmers on behalf of their GMO seed market and ruined life after life after life, not to mention, according to this jury, probably taken many lives due to non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and other forms of cancer. That should be the national discussion, because that stuff is still on the market. You could still get it anywhere you go, and it's not labeled maybe carcinogenic. No, we're going to talk about the Proud Boys today and how they should be kicked off the internets.
Yeah, it's absolute madness. Look at the rise of cancer within our lives, especially within just within the last few years. It has dramatically gone up. How many people are suffering through cancer because of horrible practices by private corporations like Monsanto, who are now Bayer? And what they've been doing through local farmers, we've been talking about Monsanto for a very, very long time on this YouTube channel. What they have been doing is just ultimately suing farmers, driving them out of business, hurting real Americans. And there needs to be a real discussion around this, and there's not. Which is just absolutely mad. Like it's maddening. It's absolutely crazy. Jason, let's get to the some of the super chats. We got a whole bunch that we could go through here. We actually have some new members that joined us. Just below this live stream, you have a new button that says join us. This is a new kind of Patreon style system where you guys get perks and special access to certain content if you guys do join us and sponsor us once a month with like a $5 donation or whatever kind of donation you guys want to make. But I wanted to announce, Jason, that we should do one the live stream a month, probably the third or second Sunday or Saturday of every month from now on, where we just talk to the members with an exclusive Q&A. So right. We're going to announce that officially once we get off this broadcast and figure out a good time where we could both talk to the people who sponsor us one-on-one. We're also going to do a similar thing with Patreon and our website. Again, we got to have multiple monetization platforms since the big tech giants are chipping away and could take away a lot of them at any time. And that's why we're on Patreon. That's why we have this new subscription service on YouTube. And we also have one on wearechange.org /donate. I'm going to take all the list of people who do sponsor us once a month and give them access to an exclusive live stream we're going to do once a month that we're going to announce expect that to be announced when you guys do sign up. So thank you for all the new members that have joined up, John Whitney and Kingsley Edwards. And now let's get to the super chat. We have one by Patrick Segan, who says Jimmy Dore and Secular Talk would know more about Ocasio.
That's the woman. That's Ocasio, I think.
Ocasio's Justice Democrats and brand new Congress type candidates like Cenk Uygur would know from TYT. I would agree. I've been watching Jimmy Dore this week. I kind of disagree with some of the ways he comes at certain issues. Same with Secular Talk. I actually reached out to both of them. We're in talks right now to have a bigger discussion on this YouTube channel. But I think it would be very interesting to engage in a dialogue, since Jimmy Dore and Secular Talk, who are both very anti Alex Jones. Jimmy Dore actually spit on Alex Jones once. I was there when that actually happened. These people, Secular Talk and Jimmy Dore, have come out and said, yeah, the censorship of Alex Jones is absolute bullcrap and should not happen. So I give those guys props for not letting bipartisan politics get in their way of their morals and their principles, which is very rare. We got another super chat by James P. He says, the rich and powerful always align with those who will make them more rich and powerful. The left, mainstream media, Antifa, BLM. It's the history of the world. You are watching free speech die before you. Yes, free speech is, I think, effectively dying. But I think there is a bigger kind of sinister agenda to have us fight against each other in this whole kind of tribalism, gang-like mentality that's only being pushed more. What do you think, Jason?
Well, I think that's a good point. And one of the things we should point out that we weren't going to go over specifically here is Vox Media. Luke did an extensive video on this week. Vox Media, who literally just partnered with the new YouTube News Division. Hey, you need video equipment? You need editors? You need some money? YouTube's got you, Vox. Well, they targeted We Are Change, Lauren Southern, Stephen Molyneux, Paul Joseph Watson, Mark Dice as extreme creators that needed to be taken off the web. Did a nice little video about it with very trendy guy, social justice warrior, telling you how he feels. And, oh, that doesn't seem so extreme to me, but... And then it's time to kick us off the internet, too. Look, we don't even have that extensive of a voice. Sure, we beat the crappier shows that are on CNN, MSNBC, CNBC, Fox Business Network. So that's because they're crap. That's because people aren't interested in the same nonsense being spewed at them again and again and again. But it's very hard to keep up with the mainstream narrative and challenge that narrative when we're not allowed to post to social media and our Q words are done and our videos are demonetized, which automatically, and that is a true thing. Guys, you hit live on a We Are Change video, it's done. I have to every time request, does not matter what we put up, we have to request. And that hurts the algorithm out of the gates because if they can't make money on it, they're not gonna promote it. So that limits our reach, our views. That's why we are on BitChute, DLive. That's why, you know, and I think this could bleed into the next story just really quickly, that Ron Paul is saying we need alternatives to social media companies that are silencing dissent. Because as they take that grip and make it tighter and tighter, Luke, I do believe that there's just going to be a new platform that comes up. In fact, Jones announced he's going to put one together yesterday. Now, he's already done that at one point. I remember it failed. It was like InfoWars People or something. I forget what it was. It was a failed social network, but he's going to try again. I don't know that that is going to be the answer. But, you know, the 4chans of the world, they come up. The Reddits of the world, there was Dig before that. There's always something that people use to basically challenge the narrative and give their version of the truth and promote free speech. Correct, Luke?
Well, if you look at basic economic markets, you always have new companies coming in. And a couple years ago, it was Toys R Us, it was Best Buy, and they beat out their competitors and they became very dominant in their economic sphere with the people that they were able to bring in into their stores. Right now, Toys R Us, Best Buy, all of these companies, they're all going out of business because of other people who are able to do their business better and people going online now instead of going to the actual physical stores. This is the natural progression. And of course, there's some people saying, oh no, I don't want Best Buy. I don't want Toys R Us to go out of business. Well, the market is deciding. The people are deciding. The same thing is happening with the mainstream media. The mainstream media is going out of business. They are trying to postpone it with all their latest censorship, soft censorship, blocking, all the latest attacks that we have to go through, demonetizations, deplatforming, all of those things that are happening are them trying to postpone the inevitable, their collapse. People are no longer buying their crap because, again, the mainstream media is just special interests, no matter who they are, whether they're from the left or from the right, financing big media with the pigs putting makeup on them to regurgitate, eat up their bullcrap, and regurgitate and throw up their propaganda on you. People are waking up to the fact like, hey, this is pig vomit being thrown at me. This is not actual information. This is not actual journalism. This is not actually something that benefits me or has an actual effect on my life. Let's go online. Let's check out what other people are doing, what the Corbett Report, what Dan Dix, what the Free Thought Project, what Collective Evolution, what all these other people are doing. And they're like, well, yeah, we really like this. And now the big social media controllers are being affected by the mainstream media because they have the same interests coming in and saying, no, we got to censor this. We got to make sure that not enough people see this. We have to do special paid promotions with Vox and CNN. We got to get Anderson Cooper online. And they're trying to force feed this pig vomit down your throat. And people are saying, enough of this. Enough of this bull crap. And they're moving away from it. So we're still not where we should be. But it is inevitable that the mainstream media and all these legacy media companies will collapse very soon. That's what I think, Jason.
Well, I certainly hope you're right. And, you know, I am one of these people that isn't sold on the idea, for instance, that this is the public square. They may have said that, but they're still a private company. They're owned by Google when we talk about YouTube. I know you're disagreeing. I'll get you up on screen, nodding your head. Here's the side-by-side. Look at that smile. This is where we are in disagreement. I think it's very hard for me to, you know, call a company out. But at the same time, I want to say this. I'm a big Teddy Roosevelt fan, and we have not trust-busted or broken up monopolies in any significant period of time, and these companies don't pay taxes. Google, Apple, they don't pay taxes. And they are funded in large part through corporate welfare by the government. So they are promoted by the government. I get that. I get that argument too. But just like Luke, and again, this is my opinion, just like 5 years ago, Luke, this program that me and you are doing would not have been possible to broadcast in HD quality with nice little microphones and great little video activity across three huge social media platforms where thousands, tens of thousands, and even millions of people could be reached with our information, 5 more years may prove that other venues will allow us to do the same and they aren't trying to suppress free speech. What do you think about that, Mr. Anarchy?
How is Facebook a private company when you have the Israeli government, the U.S. government, and the Atlantic Council deciding what people get to see and not see on their Facebook timelines and what pages get to be resouped and just deleted everything from the public sphere and the public dialogue that is happening? These are public squares where the political discussions do happen. They are dominant predominantly because of government seed funding that gave them an advantage over their competitors. Their compliance with the government works hand in hand. They keep washing each other's hands and taking care of each other. That's why these big social media companies, especially just Google, even on their own, the amount of participation with the NSA spying program and other spying programs that they have on the American people for total domination and control is an outright shambles of a private company. They are not a private company. They are one and one with the U.S. government, the Israeli government, the Atlantic Council, and other special interests that dominate them. And they have become so powerful that they have become monopolies. They have created these public squares. And this is where the majority of people were led to astray to discuss what's happening in the world. And they did this in a very cheeky way. They did this like drug dealers. Pretty much a drug dealer, from my observation and some of the friends I had here growing up in Brooklyn, what they would do is they would have a little crack rock. And they're like, someone's having a hard time. He's like, hey, man, I got a little crack rock. Go smoke a little crack rock. You'll feel a lot better. Crackhead Bob smokes the crack. He's like, oh, this is very good. That one's free. That one's on the house. Then Crackhead Bob's get dependent on the free crack. And he's like, man, let me buy some crack. And then he starts selling his whole house just to have that crack. Social media, the big tech companies, along with the governments, did the same thing. They're like, hey, man, we have this open space where you could discuss political ideas. There's no censorship. You subscribe to something, you're actually going to see it. There are no algorithms. What you want to see, you will see. What you click to subscribe on will actually show up in your newsfeed. And it's a free decentralized platform where people get to talk to each other. Isn't this an awesome idea? And then all of us were like smoking in that free speech crack. And like, oh, man, this is good stuff. I like it. And now the crackhead comes down, busting down your door, trying to collect the money. And that's the phase that we're dealing in now with the crackhead, not the crackhead, the drug dealer, the big social media companies with their bat looking at you being like, oh, now it's time to pay up. And now we're all paying up with censorship that we're dealing with. So no. I disagree with you cold-heartedly, but that's why we could discuss these ideas civilly and not attack each other. But a boxing match would be pretty fun between me and you, but that's a whole nother stuff to discuss it. Moving forward with the super chats, unless you want to rebut, Jason.
I mean, I'll just say this. I get both arguments. I would say this. I think it's awfully hard to prosecute a company like Google, YouTube, Facebook, and actually rein them in. And I think that is pretty obvious when you look at those show Facebook hearings, not only in the United States, the congressional ones, but the ones in UK Parliament. So to that extent, you're absolutely right. And the fact is that they are buying smaller parts of government by paying for the campaigns or in part donating to their campaigns, to their causes, and owning these politicians on some level.
Yeah, it's, they're one of the biggest lobbyists in all of Washington, D.C.
Absolutely, absolutely. Listen, I get it, bro. I get it, but like, here's my thing, Luke. You know, we always have this argument that there's no necessity for government, and then we'll talk about sheriffs and this and that, and then the anarchists will come after me and the non-aggression principles will come after me. I'll say this.
Oh, I still have those beliefs, and I will argue on those beliefs, too. Go ahead.
I know you will. But my point is, no matter what institution, whether you want to call it big business, whether you want to call it government, whether you want to call it, you know, the guy on the street, we're all people. Okay, and once people organize, they have the ability to do great things, and they have the ability to do horrific things. And right now, I think that the social media platforms, what they're doing to free speech is absolutely horrific, but should not be that surprising, seeing they are in bed with a government that has been trying to curtail free speech for some time, especially anti-government speech.
Yeah, I definitely don't believe that we should have government regulate these companies. I say a good start to all of this is rescinding and taking back all the money and all the incentives and all the perks that they were given to by government. Take all of that away. Let's have an open free market in this entire situation and let people be notified that, hey, through the free public access ways, through us being able to communicate with each other, these are companies with interests of the government. They're pretty much hand in hand. So government regulation wouldn't really change anything anyway, because they're in bed with the government in many, many different ways, and they cooperate together and work together. And guess what? It's not usually done to the benefit of you. And if it wasn't for government, a lot of these problems wouldn't exist, and there would be a bigger competition out there for a lot of these companies, especially Google. That's one of the biggest monopolies. But sadly, now you do have to make the argument that if you want to do anything in life, you need to be on Google, you need to be on Facebook, you need to be on Twitter. No matter what you're doing in this life, if you want to be successful, you're going to have to use those monopoly companies. And that's why we're still here. But again, we're pushing people to alternatives, and we're using this platform to awaken as many people as you can, because this is the only way we could really do it in such a velocity, in such a way. So moving forward with some of the super chats, unless you want to interrupt.
No, I think we should move on to the super chats for sure.
Yeah, we got one by Janine Sharon, and it's just £10. Well, thank you for the £99 super chat of the £10. We got another one by Avatas. Thank you, Avatas. Really appreciate all your super chats. Happy Sunday, fellas. Are you packed and ready for your trip down the memory hole? Are you packed and ready for your trip down the memory hole, Jason?
What does that even mean? Listen, I'll take anybody's information. I'll take a look. I will definitely read things. I want people to challenge me. That's fine. But down the memory hole, I don't think that they're going to be able to. Listen, a lot of my stuff got deleted last week. A lot. A lot of stuff I'm unhappy about. I'm very.
Yeah, a lot of my stuff as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there were interviews back in the day with a young Luke Radowski and a scamp Jason Burmis together on the Info Warrior program. Really fun stuff. I think there were, you know, stuff that we covered the G20 in 08 down in Pittsburgh together. We were kind of live on and off together there. Yeah, it sucks, man. The memory hole, they could try, but again, once it's on the internets, folks, somebody's archived it. Somebody out there's got it. That's why peer-to-peer networks, file sharing, torrenting is so important. And when that stuff goes away, something else will come up. They will never be able to silence us completely. And at the end of the day, Luke, that's one of the reasons I do this. A lot of people are like, oh, well, no one's listening to you, Jason, or you're not making a difference. Hey, future generations will have access to a Jason Burmis film or a podcast or a video. And hopefully they can look at that and say, you know, some people were asking questions. Some people weren't part of the establishment. You know, they can look at, you know, Luke Radowski confronting Rothschild or Kissinger and go, wow, somebody walked up to these demons and really confronted them. Maybe I'll do the same in my generation, in Generation ZYXL Millennial. I don't know what the hell they're going to call it. But I'm just saying that I think that this stuff is going to be there forever, no matter how hard they try to unperson us.
Well, it depends. China is a good case study where that actually didn't really work out for the benefit of the people, and they totally censored everything, which is what they're doing right now with in cooperation with Google. But that's a whole other discussion, since Google is a private company and can do what they want, according to Jason Burmese. Michael Holiday gave us a $2 super chat. He says, "I fought the frogs, and the frogs won." I like that super chat. Sorry, I'm still sick and recovering. Mike Sunkin, $1 super chat. Thank you so much, Mike Sunkin. We still got Monday through Saturday to get to, which we're going to get to after we address some of these super chat. We got another super chat from Roosevelt. Sent you tweet from Roosevelt 2017. New documentary on is QAnon a cult. Can you please share? I guess we did, Roosevelt, through your super chat, so thank you. We got more racism and anti-Semitism in the chat room that we don't think would be beneficial for this conversation to exist. But, yeah, if you guys want to do the super chats, do the super chats. But when they're obviously very racist and derogatory, I won't read them. We got another super chat by Mimo. He says, Kessler is a plant. He's talking about Jason Kessler, the organizer of today's Unite the Right 2 rally. The evidence is in the Zero Hedge article, Conservatives Sound Alarm Over Unite the Right 2, rally organized by known provocateur. I like Zero Hedge, so if you get a chance, definitely check out their platform and check out that article, Unite the Right 2, rally organized by known provocateur. I'm going to read that one right after we get there. We got a lot of racist people being angry, but that's okay. That's their problem. We got another super chat. Where is it? By Lewis67, and he says, free Alex Jones. And yeah, I disagree with Alex Jones on so many different things. I really don't like him on so many different issues. We have so many disagreements, but he should be free to have communication, and we should be able to discuss ideas, whether they're good or bad, in the public dichotomy, because that's the only way to find out if they're good or bad, and to progress society forward instead of censoring them, villainizing them, and ultimately promoting them, which has happened with Alex Jones. All right, Jason Burmese, now let's talk about the news that happened Monday. And you had this article picked. Do you want to go over it?
Yeah, absolutely. U.S. Senate calls on Julian Assange to testify. It was a letter signed by Senator Richard Burr and Mark Warner. And they want, you know, I think that this is obviously a stunt, a trick. I don't think they're interested in an actual conversation or the evidence that Mr. Assange will provide that would debunk all this Russiagate, the Russians, the Ruskies. Hey, you want time on the media, Luke? Talk about some Russians, okay? So now, remember, we didn't want Assange. There are no sealed indictments. We're not trying to get Assange, blah, blah, blah. And then we have an administration that really won because of WikiLeaks, talked about how much they love the WikiLeaks. You see the WikiLeaks? I love the WikiLeaks, the good WikiLeaks. I can't get enough WikiLeaks. And now they're trying to bait this guy into our country so that they can put him under lock, key for the rest of his life, no trial, and silence. Really one of the great journalistic entities of our time.
Well, again, Jason's opinions are Jason's opinions. It's interesting because this man was supposed to be ousted from the Ecuadorian embassy, what was it, a week ago, 2 weeks ago?
Three.
Yeah, and three, and everyone was just waiting for the inevitable moment where he's going to be kicked out. He is yet still to be kicked out, and I bet a lot of the legal teams, especially in the United Kingdom, are usually doing that in order to stop any bigger outrage and in order for the story not to foment and get any bigger than it already is, because they don't like the tension of it, especially with Julian Assange's case. It will be interesting. I mean, Julian Assange is, and his lawyers are reaching out saying that, yes, they'll be willing to testify as long as we don't get secret indicted and thrown in jail. Even in the, you know, the United Kingdom, when they were talking with the Ecuadorians, allegedly the Ecuadorians were like, just promised that he won't get the death sentence. So it's going to be very interesting. This letter is, you know, confusing because it's very clear that they want him out of the Ecuadorian embassy and that he is going to be facing charges definitely in the United Kingdom and very, very likely in the United States, even though it's not talked about because of the secret indictments that they have against him. Tuesday's story is definitely a very hard one to cover, Jason. I did a specific video just about this on our YouTube channel. And it's not an easy story to talk about because it's one of the worst things that could ever happen to somebody. You want to take it?
Absolutely. I think you skipped one of them, but we're going to go with this one. And this is obviously the Saudi-led strike that killed the Yemen children. Really rough. There's a video on this one. Again, it's very upsetting and concerning to me that the U.S. media is not talking about this, that this isn't something that dominated the media over the week or the weekend or has even really been discussed, since there are bombs and missiles hitting children in school buses. And guys, again, we can't play what CNN can play. We can't show you this video. It's heart-wrenching, man. It's really graphic. I mean, You're talking about dead children on the side of the road, injured children being taken into cars and taken to places where they can receive medical attention. And once again, there's not a peep about the $400+ billion arms deal we did with Saudi Arabia. There's not a peep about how we helped them pick the targets, except for people like Rand Paul. And believe me, they're few and far between. They're not getting the appropriate time on the media, and our media refuses to discuss this situation in any meaningful manner, Luke.
Yeah, when they're talking about the Saudi-led strike, they're talking about the United States Saudi-led strike, which is, again, missing from CNN. The United States has troops on the ground, boots on the ground in Yemen right now, and it came out, according to an official AP investigation, that the U.S.-Saudi coalition is fighting alongside Al-Qaeda, even paying off some of their members to flee a town and to move, and without shooting a shot, they're going in there declaring victory over Al-Qaeda. Meanwhile, obviously, Saudi Arabia, that promotes Wahhabism all over the world, is very closely tied in with Al-Qaeda, and they're fighting against Houthi rebels that are tied in with Iran. So the United States essentially is fighting alongside Al-Qaeda. This should be an issue that the right should be angered about, that the left should be angered about, because we are creating the worst humanitarian crisis in the world right now, with millions of people on the brink of starvation and disease, ultimately death, because of our taxpaying dollars. And we're selling them weapons. The United States, Donald Trump, still continues to sell weapons to Saudi Arabia and help them joining their coalition in these atrocious acts. And this is one of the biggest ones, where we saw dozens of children just being bombed by the U.S. Saudi-led coalition, which, again, this is also as of August 9th. We had Saudi Arabia say that its bombing of the school bus that was carrying the children in northern Yemen, mainly from the Houthi area, which led to the death of 29 kids under the age of 15, was, quote, a legitimate military operation. They actually went on the record and said that this was a legit military operation. This is just barbaric. This is just far beyond violations of human rights, but not just treasonous, but absolutely criminal for the United States to be involved in this. And again, the Proud Boys, Jason Kessler. Yeah, let's talk about that. That's going to dominate the headlines. But this definitely is not.
No, sir, it is not. And it's tragic, because the more silence on this, the less likelihood that anything is going to be done to end this conflict anytime soon. And again, we're complicit, whether we like it or not. Whether you voted for Trump or not, you're being complicit too on the left, because you're not what the left was in 2003, when people were speaking out against the Iraq war, saying we didn't need to invade that nation. You're not even what the left was back in 2010, when they were telling the Obama administration that they did not want to go into Syria. You're pathetic. And, you know, those on the right that are Team Trump all the time, you're just as pathetic for not talking about this. Dead children are nobody's friend. And you should be disgusted. You should be disturbed into action. You should be speaking about this with your friend and family when they talk about, oh, well, at least we're not in any new wars. At least we're not bombing anybody. You have no idea what's going on globally. And this is one of the most disturbing examples of the ignorance of the American public that is allowing for, I don't even want to say it, stuff like this to take place, Luke.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I'm definitely not on the Trump train. I don't think people should be on the Trump train. I think they definitely need to clean house with all the warmongers and all the horrible decisions that are being made that are affecting a lot of innocent people out there that are creating more problems. Because, again, you look at U.S. foreign policy and you look at the dichotomy of blowback, which even a lot of government officials agree on. The more you start bombing and attacking people and the more innocent people who are affected, the more terrorism you're going to have all around the world. And it seems like, again, everything's backwards here. You know, it seems like the whole war on terrorism is only creating more terrorism. The whole war on fake news is creating more fake news. It's creating more lies. It's creating more illusion. Almost everything in our society is almost completely, absolutely backwards on 180 degrees. And that's why, again, it's hard to deal with sometimes, to be completely honest with you. All right, you want to get into Wednesday's story?
Yes, and I like I said, I think a couple more were flipped, but I found this one pretty interesting. Now, the headline is, "Call the Police Moment an Actor in an Impeached Trump Shirt is Denied Service at a Restaurant, prompting fellow diner members and the manager to call authorities." Now, why do I think this is interesting? Well, number one, we have now these instances where the Trump administration is out eating food. They can't eat there. People who are wearing MAGA hats are having their drinks thrown in their face. Sometimes they're telling people that they won't be served. Now, this kind of flipped the script a little bit and kind of shows you that America isn't as divided as you think. On one end,
people need to know that this is a hidden camera series.
Absolutely.
Of what would you do?
Yes.
And the show shows a man walking into a diner wearing a politically themed shirt. The shirt specifically saying to impeach Donald Trump. So go ahead.
Yeah, he's got the impeach 45 on. So, you know, obviously the stage is it's set up, but the customers are real. So the manager comes over and he says, "Get out." Now, what I thought was great about this is that you had, you know, the liberal white guy going, "You're doing the right thing, call the cops." And then you had a black family in the show actually walk out because they wouldn't serve the guy. So it shows you that this isn't really about race, but the media is always making it about race, Luke. The other thing that I want to highlight is, who cares what kind of a t-shirt you're wearing in a diner? Never have I ever said to myself, for instance, I'm sure you see it too, Luke. Every once in a while, you'll see somebody with a ridiculous racist tattoo. I do. And I've never thought, you know, I'm leaving the diner because they're serving that person. I think, wow, I would never get that tattooed on my body, and that's a terrible thing to promote. But since when in America did people care so much about your hat, who you're supporting for president? We used to be able to just serve one another, get along, maybe point out, I can't believe that person's doing that, but here's his French fries and his hamburger, and go about our day. But that doesn't seem to be the case anymore.
Yeah, it's all order out of chaos, hating the fellow man, so we don't deal with the real issues that are affecting us, which we've been saying. It's the whole order out of chaos that's happening there. It's idiotic. I don't agree with the whole you must bake the cake. I think this is all dumb. It's all stupid. Let people be stupid all they want. There's a guy in here calling the cops. Why the hell? Like, and again, just let it go, man. Like God, just meditate for frick's sakes and stop being such. People take themselves too seriously. That's a whole big other problem that I see in our society. Just let it go, man. Meditate and you know, take some magic mushrooms and chill out. All right, Thursday story, Jason.
Yes, sir. We're moving on, and it looks like a longtime Roger Stone ally, one of his main aides, Andrew Miller, has been held in contempt of court for refusing to testify in the Mueller probe. And let me tell you, I probably would too, but this just shows how they're putting the squeeze on everybody in the fake Russiagate scenario. And that Roger Stone is actually out on InfoWars right now begging for money because of the legal fees that he's spending against Mueller and his team. Now, I'm not calling for sympathy for Roger Stone. This is the godfather of lobbying, one of the most disgusting practices of all time. But it shows how much this Mueller probe will go after people and try to ruin you, not only in the public square, but in your wallet for something that is no more than fiction, Luke.
Yeah, this whole case is just becoming more and more absurd. What ramifications is this contempt of court charge going to have? And will this guy have to speak or face, what is it, 7 years in jail?
I believe so. I believe that's the initial. I'm sure, you know, that's the first threat. But whether or not, you know, let's say he gets the seven, maybe he serves three. Maybe they go for seven, he gets one, you know, he gets out. But again, remember when Fox News just a couple of weeks ago was saying that Tony Podesta was offered immunity for a similar crime to Manafort when, wait, what's he got to have immunity for? You never indicted him. You never charged him with a crime. And then as soon as we report that, five people are indicted. None of them are Tony Podesta. The Manafort trial goes underway. Tony Podesta's not up there testifying against him. Why isn't Tone indicted? Why isn't he being held in contempt?
It's important to note here that Tony Podesta what's this guy's name? Robert Mueller worked together on their differing lobbying interests. They committed the same crimes. So again, big hypocrisy. But I did hear something that Tony Podesta was indicted. We have to fact check that just to make sure we're all of our talking points are correct here, because I heard first he was given protection by Robert Mueller. And then now he is getting indicted under the kind of Manafort case that's happening here. Sorry. So I'm just getting my facts.
Well, you know, rumors have been out there, but I've never seen an indictment. He was not one of the people that was announced to be indicted after Tucker Carlson did that piece on him. But the hypocrisy is screaming louder than ever. When somebody who is a low-level aide to Roger Stone can be held in contempt of court for not wanting to testify, and Tony Podesta is driving around in Bentleys doing whatever he wants. He's a free guy.
Yeah, and Tony Podesta and Paul Manafort worked together and did ultimately the same thing. So we're going to have to take a look at that. All right, so Friday, what's the story that you got here? Well, you love the Daily Mail too much, Jason.
Well, I go to the Daily Mail because they have great headlines and they have great pictures when I get there. This one's a really – and well, not for the last story, but we'll get there in a minute. This one is pretty crazy. DNC lawyers served lawsuit documents to WikiLeaks via Twitter. That's where we are now. We have a processing company, Cohen, Milstein, Sellers, and Toll Processing, serving legitimate court documents to WikiLeaks via social media. And of course, it's over Russia! The Ruskies, you did it! The cyber attack from Russians, it's all your fault, WikiLeaks. Here's some documentation. You've been served on Twitter. Like, the absurdity of this, the fact that they're trying to make this paperwork, these court orders, legitimate by serving them via social media, I mean, it screams ridiculous.
Yeah, the tweets are... I never saw this happen before. I never saw someone officially being served, especially with Julian Assange having no access to the internet for a very, very long time now, to be officially served through Twitter. You can actually look at the tweet. It's just document link after document link after document link after document link. And they're saying by court order, you are being served with the following legal documents. A little bit ridiculous. Especially if you've been following the case and following up to the lead up of the election and everything that unfolded. It makes no sense, Jason.
No, sir, it does not make any sense. And it shows how far we've really gone down the rabbit hole in society where now legal teams on behalf of the DNC, by the way. This isn't just like some frivolous lawsuit. These are representatives of the Democratic National Committee that are like, let's get some lawyers and serve them on the Twitter. Like, we're going to get them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and these, you know, the serving of these documents is pretty insane. As even WikiLeaks tweeted, Democrats have gone all Scientology against WikiLeaks. We read the DNC lawsuit. Its primary claim against WikiLeaks is that we published their trade secrets. Scientology infamously tried this trick when we published their secret Bibles. Didn't work out well for them. So again, they're pretty much going after exposing their trade secrets. Their trade secrets of the DNC was pretty much robbing Bernie Sanders of the primaries, having Debbie Wasserman Schultz do it, cover it up, then be fired, and then after being fired, get hired by Hillary Clinton and be Hillary Clinton's right-hand man during her presidential campaign. That's their trade secrets. Cheat Bernie Sanders if they did anything. It's just insane where DNC is like, how dare you show us doing something illegal that is illegal? That's pretty much what the DNC is saying here. They're a lost party with the people that they're pushing to run for 2020. I do not see them being very successful. It's going to be a very worn out, tough fight. But with the mainstream media, with the way that they're skewing things and the tech giants with their censoring of voices, it's going to be a much closer election than we think this year, with even rumblings of Hillary Clinton running again. And with the divide and conquer order hour of chaos agenda that's being pushed there, she is a horrible candidate that no one wants to see run, except for a very few select people, especially within the establishment. But I do not see it being very clear cut, even with all the propaganda out there, for the Democrats to win the next upcoming elections. All right, so the last story that you have for us, Jason.
Yeah, and you know, that's why you rig the machines, and that's why we have electronic voting. And I'm not saying the Democrats are better than the Republicans or worse than the Republicans. I'm just saying that we should have a ballot, a paper ballot system. Physical voting records are a good idea, folks. So no matter what you think, no matter how you think these things are going to be swung, whether your vote counts or not, they can certainly be digitally manipulated. But that doesn't have anything to do with this last story that I want to talk about. I want to bring it full circle, Luke, back to the beginning, back to the anti-fascist rally. And this is the mainstream media coddling them, like you were discussing, when NBC reporters could be attacked by Antifa and then not report it, when Brian Stelter has to be bullied. This is the headline: anti-fascists peacefully protest in Charlottesville ahead of 1 year anniversary of deadly race riots, surrounded by 1,000 cops who are fully prepared for counter demonstrators. Remember, the cops are there only for the bad people on the right wing. Well, here's a little video that Luke didn't show you, and we're not going to show you here. I just want you to see the headline, because we'll get a content strike and it will be age restricted. Police officer in Charlottesville beaten by Antifa gang members. And I watched this, and it is crazy. Basically, a fight breaks out right on the front lines between, I wouldn't say a fight broke out. I would say that six people were pummeling one person on the ground, and then a police officer tries to break that up. He doesn't do very well policing. He ends up on the ground himself, being pummeled by several members of Antifa, and then other police officers come to his aid, pull him away. And the guy that was on the ground tried to be a tough guy for about 1 second, you know, pushing forward like he's coming in. I got it. I'm going to come in. And then he realized, wow, these guys will beat me to a bloody pulp again. So pretty peaceful, Luke. It's pretty peaceful when they're beating up riot cops that are literally just trying to. And they're not, by the way, these cops weren't using batons. They weren't using less lethal munitions. They weren't pumping out any kind of gas. Instead, they were just tearing six people off of one person on the ground who they may have killed. And then what happens to them? They get beat up. But very peaceful, Luke.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was a de-arrest situation, but I guess I didn't see the full video of it. But obviously, every news organization has an agenda. Obviously, every news organization is trying to push a certain narrative on you, regurgitating their public interests, loyal servants to the establishment, whichever one it may be, on the left or right. And you can see that highlighted by articles like this, misleading headlines and evidence that contradicts it. There was an NBC reporter attacked. There was a de-arrest situation that got pretty hairy for some police officers. Overall, it wasn't as bad as a lot of people expected. I don't think even anyone on the right showed up in Charlottesville. Only today we saw Jason Kessler and about a dozen people show up to the Unite the Right 2 rally that he had organized there. They had obviously one idiot giving the Nazi salute there. They had another black guy there, which I was like, what the hell's going on here? And they had hundreds of police officers and thousands of counter demonstrators. And there was also some scuffles. I actually tweeted some of the videos that I saw from some of my friends. There was pepper spray used. There were some police officers being pelted today and attacked today. So, again, depending on who you watch, you're going to see different coverage of the same entire event. One side will tell you it's completely peaceful. Another side will also be very hyperbolic and tell you that it's a full-out war. And it's not. The truth is always somewhere, gosh darn, in the middle. And the truth is never to push an agenda. The truth should always be the truth. And if it goes against whatever gang you're affiliated with, good. That's why we don't affiliate ourselves with any gang here. We have our principles, we have our morals, and that's being anti-war, anti-violence, pro-peace, anti-war, and anti the globalist divide and conquer agenda to make us fight against each other instead of dealing with the actual problems that we have in this life. But look at all these protests. Look at all these censorship efforts. What they're promoting is ultimately a police state. What they're promoting is our taxes going to enforce police officers to have more power and authority over our lives and to have big authority come in and say, this is okay and this is not okay. And we need to take a lot more responsibility within our lives, not only in what we pay attention to, but what we give service to, because this will lead to a very, very bad situation. It's already bad. It's already hard to even just talk about politics in this day and age. I think that's why a lot of people have tuned out. They don't even want to talk about politics. It's a little bit difficult for me because I'm like, this is just absolute dumbassness. And I'm sick of all the dumbassness. We got another super chat by Mimu. Mimu? How do you say that, Jason?
It seems like Meemow. I don't know. Meemow.
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 Meemow. And he says, sorry to see you go, Steve, for a $2 super chat. Yeah. Thank you for that super chat. Obviously, we're not going to be addressing a lot of the crazier comments that we have in our super chat. If people still want to send them, they can, whatever. But it doesn't mean we always have to read them. But even if you, again, it's about pushing the discussion in a rational way. I think it's important. I think it's more important than ever to vote with your attention and to decide what you click on and not to give these crazies the attention that they're getting right now.
And you know what? Speaking of that, I think you're absolutely right. Vote with your attention. Vote with your knowledge. Vote with your clicks. I want to bring up to everybody, we got a backup channel. It is youtube.com/LukeWeAreChange. We need you to subscribe to that backup channel in case anything happens here. That gives us an ability to communicate with you, to live stream with you. And
well, we're in the process of monetizing that, right?
Well, trying. We have to get 1,000 more subscribers. We've got to get a certain amount of views, although we did get a lot of views with two of the really cool interviews, very long-form stuff you don't see on the main channel very often, outside of the live stream, of course. I have an open discussion with half of Media Roots, Robbie Martin, about the banning of Alex Jones. I open up a little bit more than I ever have about my relationship with Alex and what I did over there at InfoWars. And, of course, the Isaac Cappy interview has been the best video I've done on the backup channel to date. It's over an hour long. It is extremely well-sourced, almost a mini-documentary. And it kind of reins Cappy in a bit from some of the things he said off the cuff. We can use a little discernment. We can find out what Cappy knows firsthand, what are the rumors around Hollywood, and where we go from here. So I'm really proud of that interview as well. Check out the Pulse Change channel. Subscribe. We're trying to get that monetized, and we're trying to get that into a bigger platform as well.
Yeah, we've been busting our butts here because you have to bust your butts to be competitive in this news realm. I mean, we released 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, what was it, like almost 13 videos within the last 7 days.
A lot.
So we've been releasing 13 videos, busting our butts, trying to make sure. And it's not easy because, I always come from the perspective of what value could I give the audience that they can't get anywhere else. For the person who's tuning out of the news, and doesn't like to watch the propaganda out there in the news and doesn't like to be involved in it, this Sunday show is a great idea, because then you get to see everything that happened Monday through Sunday without the programming, without the divide and conquer schemes, without the bigger agendas at play here trying to push you in a certain direction that works out in the benefit of someone else. We don't do that. We tell you what happens. You get to look at the articles and the sources as we're talking about them. And it's important to have that kind of platform, because I don't see a lot of other people doing it. And a lot of people in our field are going out of business because of the rampant attacks by the big tech giants, by the big mainstream media companies, with the censorships that are happening there. We got another super chat by Kathy Madison. Again, thank you for the super chats, Kathy Madison. They help us run this operation and be free. And it's important for all of us to be as free as we can. Whether it's to ideologies, whether it's to political classes, whether it's to gangs, whether it's to the left and right, we're free of all of that bull crap, and we're able to piss off both sides, which we're not trying to do, but the truth always does. So Kathy Madison, thank you so much. And she says, maybe the new hosting site called Real.Video. I think that's a new one that was started by Mike Adams, Jason. I'm not sure.
The Mike Adams one. I've heard that he put something together, but I don't know a lot about it.
Yeah. There's another one that we use on Steemit. So if you go to steemit.com /@LukeWeAreChange, let me get that link here. I'll send it actually to the chat room. There's actually an alternative that runs partially through the blockchain. I sent that to the main chat room right there, steemit.com/@LukeWeAreChange. And all our videos are out there. We made a big archive of everything that's backed up on different servers and different hard drives, just in case for the inevitable day that we get kicked off of here. But at the same time, you could also watch a lot of what we're doing on dlive.io. I'm going to send the link on there, too. It's another alternative platform that runs on the Steemit social media platform. And the Steemit social media platform is a very interesting one. It's kind of more like Reddit. But I really do enjoy that platform. A lot of people were calling it a scam ever since its early inception, but it hasn't been a scam. It hasn't scammed anyone. A lot of people are doing pretty well on that platform because the whole system is run through cryptocurrencies. So if you vote on content, if you leave comment on content, especially earlier it's left, you actually own cryptocurrencies. And a lot of people have been taking that cryptocurrency and using it and changing Steem to Bitcoin and to USD or through other currencies like Dash or Smart Cash and all these other platforms that are out there. But if you look at the whole kind of playing field that we're dealing with, there's a lot less of us than there was before, Jason. And this job is definitely not easy. People are like, oh, you're a YouTuber, you just travel and do all this. No, this is a lot of hard work, man. You have to be careful here, Jason, too, because one small mistake, one small like fraudulent slip, and your entire reputation is just utterly destroyed. And that's why I try not to speak in kind of generalizations as much as I can, try to be as detailed as possible and share both sides of the story. But this is not easy, especially making sure that you have all your facts straight and researching everything and then pouring it out there for you guys.
Yeah, no, especially when your opinion might not be popular among the audience. That definitely happens here with me and even you at some points. Maybe we're a little too pro-Trump or a little too anti-Trump on an issue, and
you're a little bit more pro-Trump. I'm a little bit more anti-Trump.
Well, I'm a little more rock and roll. I don't know. I'm just saying, man, like, you know, there are times where, you know, we know through analytics who the majority of our audience is. And there are times that I'm going to say things that may upset them. And on top of that, as far as the work goes, guys, you know, an hour-long interview with Cappy, putting in 10, 12 video clips, 20 different articles, sourcing that, I think I spent a good 10-hour edit altogether. Setting these things up, having conversations with people behind the scenes, because I don't want to look at things through just one lens, Luke. You know, I had long conversations this weekend with a number of people, including TruthStream Media, about a number of subjects. So, you know, this is a gig where you got to have your you know, finger on the pulse of society. You've got to know what to look at in the news realm, and you have to be aware of the content you think is important to bring to the audience and not so much what the audience wants to hear.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, because there is a responsibility you have here, and that responsibility is very daunting. It is very heavy, and that's why I try to be extremely careful. But the YouTube algorithm, the YouTube system pushes people to release as much content as possible. It's quantity over quality, which is something that I had to get used to, because everything I, you know, always do, I want it to be nice. I want it to look good and not just pump out content and just to be careless about all the information that I'm putting out there. Because again, it's a huge responsibility that we have here that we do take very seriously. Majority of all the videos I do predominantly have sources so people could fact check everything themselves. Because again, we have to be responsible, because if we're not, we're only helping the dichotomy get worse in this country. And it's already at a low point that the lowest point that I have seen it at in a very, very, very long time. But I am seeing on our broadcast that we do have to fix this, Jason, because it says we are live, but when I click on videos, it's a video from last week. So that's something also that we have to figure out to set the date of when we're live and set that's this so new weird. Broadcast as well. So we definitely got to take care of the little details, Jason, as well. It's mainly me and Jason doing predominantly all the work here. I'm trying to look at the chat room, seeing what you guys are saying. There's a nice comment here, says Luke has a boner and he hits a wall. What part of Luke hits the wall first? And people are like, his nose. Whoa. Okay, yeah, okay. That's an interesting comment, to say the least. Okay, so any other comments you want to address in the chat room? Anything else you want to say, Jason?
You know, I just want to thank the audience, and apparently I'm not a little more rock and roll, Luke. I'm a little more howdy doody, according to one of the commentators.
I would agree with that. I would kind of agree with the howdy doody comment.
Yeah, I'm a howdy doody guy. I just want to say to everybody that we are living in dangerous times when the media can decry a president who they constantly attack, who is critical of the mainstream media all at the same time while being pro-censoring the biggest voice in alternative media, whether I agree with him or not, because
I disagree with him.
I know you do. I know you do. And you know, I'm pretty vocal when I disagree with the man as well. But my point being is, you know, this is kind of a blessing for us right now. Who knows if we're here next week live streaming? Who knows if we're here next month on the platform at all?
CNN took us down a couple months ago because we were broadcasting C-SPAN and the what was it? The State of the Union speech.
Yep.
We were broadcasting that. CNN put a fake copyright strike on us, getting rid of our ability to be live for about a month.
Yep.
With no accountability, with no way for us to even fix that. CNN just said, no, this is ours, when it wasn't, incorrectly hurting our business. And we have been dealing with little incidences like that for a very long time. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and we don't have that H3H3 juice where we can just get on the texty McText and be like, hey, man, what's the deal? Can we just go live in like 20 minutes? No, they're like, no, you're done for a month. Sorry. So it just shows the hypocrisy out there. And again, I just want to thank the audience for sticking with us. Go get some cool t-shirts at our Teespring shop. Share the links. Sign up to the backup channel. Follow us on Twitter. And be the change you want to see in the world.
I agree. Thank you, Jason, so much for joining me. And thank you, all you beautiful, amazing human beings. I love you. Stay tuned for a lot more, especially every single Sunday around 7 p.m. Eastern. We will be here as long as we can be here. Thank you again for watching.